The time is 8 o'clock. Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button. I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started out with some music by Dmitri Shostakovich. That was one of his preludes and fugues. A little bit longer starting piece for the program today than usual. That was the Prelude and Fugue number 1 in C major from his set of 24 preludes and fugues. We heard something from them last week on Wednesday's show. And the pianist there, Konstantin Shcherbakov. We have one more much livelier prelude and fugue coming up by Shostakovich in a few minutes. But right now it's time for weather and road reports. Starting with the weather, yesterday we received 6 millimeters of precipitation. The low was 15.8 degrees, the high was 24.1. Right now the temperature is about 8 degrees, and Environment Canada tells us we are in for another wonderful day today. Sunny, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour this afternoon, a high today of 26 degrees. Tonight, clear, wind from the south at 20, becoming light late this evening, and a low of 7. And it looks like, actually, right through the rest of the weekend, we're in for pretty good weather. Thursday, sunny with a high of 27 degrees. Friday, sunny with a low of 9, a high of 29. That looks like our warmest day by far. Saturday, sunny with a low of 12, a high of 26. And we'll throw Sunday in there as well. A mixture of sun and cloud, a low of 8, and a high of 23. Right now in Clinton, the temperature is 1 degree and clear. Hope is at 12 degrees and cloudy. In Kamloops, it's 8 and sunny. In Pemberton, 9 degrees. And in Vancouver, 12 and partly cloudy. And turning to the highways, starting with Highway 1 in the Fraser Canyon, bridge construction 2 kilometers west of Boston Bar. That continues through October 31st. Single lane alternating traffic there. Lane width is restricted to 3.6 meters. And there are traffic signals there. All of those conditions apply 24 hours a day. A little further south, there's bridge maintenance 1 kilometer west of Hope. That will continue through November the 27th, a lane closure there. And there's a detour in effect for wide loads exceeding 3.5 meters. Let's see, what else have we got now in the Fraser, the northern part of the Fraser Valley? Brushing from 7 kilometers east of Laidlaw to 15 kilometers east of Chilliwack. That's a 23-kilometer stretch of the highway. That work is 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and continues through tomorrow, and there's a lane closure there. Also in the Fraser Valley, and these affect only westbound traffic, there is construction from the exit to McCallum Road to the junction with Highway 11. That's near Abbotsford. 2-kilometer stretch of the highway, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Saturday. That continues through October 15th. There's a lane closure there. And also affecting westbound traffic, construction at the junction with Highway 11 in Abbotsford, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily through October the 8th, a lane closure in effect there. There's actually a number of, not conflicting, but kind of overlapping reports on the Drive BC website about work in that particular area, so I'm not giving you the full picture. You'd want to go to the website, www.drivebc.ca, if you want to see all of those notes. But at any rate, expect that there are some lane closures and maybe a little bit of snarling up of things around there. If you're headed north and east on Highway 1, there's maintenance 10 kilometers east of Lytton, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. That continues through October the 8th. Single lane alternating traffic there with up to 20-minute delays. No notes for Highway 12 on the Drive BC website. Yesterday there was a note about maintenance on Highway 40, and it was an until further notice mention there, but that note is gone today, so I don't know if that's a mistake or if the further notice has now happened. Highway 99 South, bridge construction 30 kilometers south of Lillooet, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily through October 31st, single lane alternating traffic there. And there is paving further south, paving at Function Junction in Whistler, just south of Whistler, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily through October the 15th. 20-minute delays are expected there. That's it for weather and roads. Today's a Wednesday, of course, so it is Piano Wednesday here on Snooze Button. And today it is all piano music, and all Russian piano music for that matter. That was just something that kind of happened as I was putting the show together yesterday, but I kind of, once I realized it was happening, I went with the flow, didn't try to change that for any reason. So let's hear another of the Preludes and Fugues by Dmitri Shostakovich. As I mentioned last week, he wrote these in the 1950s, a set of 24 preludes and fugues covering all the major and minor keys. He was inspired by the Bach playing of a young Russian pianist named Tatiana Nikolaeva, and he had been, I believe, a juror on a piano competition that she was playing in. And so he decided he wanted to write his own preludes and fugues. She had been playing some of the ones by Bach from the Well-Tempered Clavier. And as he worked on these over a period of a number of years, and apparently he would turn them over to Tatiana Nikolaeva to learn one or two at a time as he was working on them. But I don't have a recording of Tatiana Nikolaeva playing them, so we're listening to Konstantin Shcherbakov. And now we'll hear the lively and somewhat more humorous prelude and fugue in B major. That was the Prelude and Fugue in B major from the set of 24 Preludes and Fugues by Dmitri Shostakovich, and a recording there by Konstantin Shcherbakov. I discovered these pieces, quote, discovered them. They had been discovered by many before me, but first listened to them probably about 8 or so years ago, and was quite amazed and delighted by what I found. They remind me so much of Bach and Shostakovich at the same time. All right, let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. Around 9 o'clock, when snooze button ends, I'll switch things up to the student broadcasters in Studio 1. And those broadcasters have been very alert and eager to get going, and it's been wonderful when I switch up and then very shortly thereafter hear their music starting up. So that's around 9 o'clock, and then later today, 3 p.m., we switch back down to Studio 2 here in the Rec Center for Democracy Now! In its new time slot, heard Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m., not heard on Friday, but Democracy Now! Is on Saturday at noon. There, I think I got it all. Later this evening, we only have one other program scheduled out of Studio 2. That's Skeptically Speaking, which comes to us from radio station CJSR at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. And tonight's edition is called Improbable Research, A Look at the Stranger Side of Science. And that sounds very interesting. By the way, next week's edition of Skeptically Speaking, I can't remember what it's called, but I believe they are talking to the author of the book, what's it called? This Is Your Brain on Music. So that sounds like it ought to be very interesting as well. All right, we're done for the moment with the 20th century, more adventurous style of music here in the show. We're going to turn to some more romantic-sounding repertoire for the next big while. And we will listen to music right now by a composer you've probably never heard before, and I know I've never played him before here on Snooze Button. His name is Gheorghe Catoir. And I wouldn't even know of this composer's existence if it weren't for a recording of some of his piano music by the amazing Canadian pianist Marc-André Amelin, who is truly one of the very best in the world. Gheorghe Catoir, as his name suggests, I believe he was of French or Belgian origin, but his family had immigrated to Russia. And so he was a Russian composer and lived and worked there throughout his life. His music was not nearly as adventurous as some of his contemporaries, say Alexander Scriabin, or somewhat later, Sergei Prokofiev. He remained fixed in a fairly clearly romantic style, although there are hints of the sort of dreamy, hazy qualities of Scriabin's music that come into some of his later works. We're going to listen to three fairly short pieces, a Caprice, Opus 3, which is full of all sorts of little intricacies of rhythm, and then one of those rather dreamy pieces, the poem, Opus 34, number 2, and then finally a concluding waltz. And a pianist once again here, Marc-André Amelin. Thank you. That was music by the Russian composer Georgi Katvar, born in 1861, died in 1926. We heard three pieces by him, his Caprice Opus 3, followed by a poem from somewhat later in his life, and a waltz from around the same period as the poem. And the pianist there was Marc-André Amelin, Georgi Katvar making his debut appearance here on Snooze Button. All right, it is 8:29, time for some public service announcements before we get to the big music of the hour. And let's see if we've got sound out of Ecuador. At least we've got the sound of the wind in the trees. That's kind of nice. Oh, there's a bird. All right, let's have some public service announcements. The Lillooet Curling Club has a fundraiser, dinner and comedy night coming this Saturday, October the 2nd. It stars Chris Molyneux, a comedian, and that's all at the Curling Club. Cocktails are at 6:30 p.m., dinner at 7 p.m., comedy show at 9 p.m. There's also a silent auction taking place. Tickets... sounds like somebody's doing dishes in the rainforest in Ecuador. Tickets are $25, and that includes the dinner and comedy show. Tickets available from the Sears outlet. That'll be Created by Design, Caltire, or you can call Wendy Reynolds at 256-4075. And the Walk for the Cure is coming on Sunday, October the 3rd at 1 p.m. Pledges and sponsorship forms are available at Integra Tire and Lillooet Glass, and also at Created by Design. This is supporting the fight against breast cancer. There are three walking distances available, 2.3 kilometers from Integra Tire to the mall and return, 5 kilometers from Integra Tire to the old bridge and return, and 8.6 kilometers from Integra Tire doing the full circle around the two bridges. Registration starts at Integra Tire and Lillooet Glass at 12:30 p.m. And there are all sorts of various other bonuses available there. So, once again, Sunday, October the 3rd, 1 p.m., registration at 12:30. I think that's all I need to give you on that one. And, getting back to the Lillooet Memorial Curling Club, they have a registration night Wednesday, October 13th, 7 p.m. at the rink. Snacks and refreshments will be served, and you can learn all the details about the league schedule and when the bond spiels are and that sort of thing. And if you want more information, you can also check out this week's edition of the Bridge River Lillooet News. The third annual Glenn Pfeiffer Memorial Golf Tournament comes up Saturday. There's a lot of things going on this weekend. Saturday, October the 2nd, it's in best ball format. Tee-off is at 11 a.m. sharp. There are nine holes. Afterwards, a steak and chicken dinner, and there will be prizes. And yeah, it should be a great day for it, too. Enter a team of four players or yourself. The cost is $30 per player, and part of the proceeds go to the Canadian Cancer Society. And actually, while we're on the subject of cancer societies, let's talk about the bras for the cause. This is related to the Walk for the Cure that I was talking about. The bras are on display at the window of Created by Design in the Old Mill Plaza, the decorated bras, for another 2 days. That's it, through tomorrow. A $2 or more donation will buy you one vote to vote for your favorite bra of the ones that are decorated. 100% of all proceeds go towards breast cancer research, and the winners will be announced at the Run for the Cure on Sunday afternoon at Integra Tire and Lillooet Glass. And if you haven't been to see this gallery of decorated bras, please do so and make a donation and vote for your favorite. They're very, very creatively decorated and almost all with a tremendous sense of humor as well. And I think I'm missing one here. Yes, Lillooet District Hospital Foundation has their 14th annual Harvest Dinner Saturday, October the 23rd at the Lillooet Memorial Curling Club. Cocktails at 6 p.m., dinner at 7 p.m. Tickets are $20, available from Created by Design, Lillooet District Hospital, and from Foundation members as well. And Friday of this week, it's the regular monthly dinner at the Catholic Church. Friday, October the 1st, this month it is German dinner, smokies and sauerkraut with all the trimmings. The cost is $10 a plate, eat in or take out. It's available at the church hall beginning at 5:30 p.m. and everyone is welcome. All right, we have a very big piece of music coming up now. We're going to listen to the first movement of the Piano Concerto No. 3 in D minor by Rachmaninoff. This concerto is a real warhorse for pianists. And if I may extend the metaphor, it's a very large warhorse that has a quite a temper of its own. I think I can turn down the noises from Ecuador there. I'll explain that another day as to what those noises are and why I put them on. The getting back to this concerto, it's and extending the metaphor of the warhorse, it's a very difficult to control concerto, considered to have some of the most difficult writing of any concerto in the standard repertoire. Nevertheless, a vast quantity of pianists have learned to play the piece, and it's used very often by young pianists at piano competitions to show they have the chops to get the job done. However, it's also a dangerous piece. It has been the cause of tendonitis for many a pianist who practiced it too excessively. It's one of those pieces you kind of have to start running at it when you're fairly young and keep working at and not working at too hard until your hands have learned some wisdom. If you're not relaxed, if you don't take every opportunity to relax your hands and your shoulders in this piece, it can lead to all sorts of difficulties. It was written around 1909, came after Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, which had been one of his most popular works. This piece immediately became quite popular. It's a little bit more austere in its character than the C minor piano concerto, but only a little bit more so, still full of lots of lush romanticism. And another thing that makes this piece really stand out is the orchestral writing. The orchestra does a lot more than just link up the chances for the piano to show off. It's a very integral part of the entire texture, and it takes a good conductor and a committed orchestra to do more than just kind of go through the paces. Thankfully, we have that here. Pianist Stephen Huff, the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, and conductor Andrew Litton. I should also mention the cadenza subject here. There are two cadenzas for the first movement. Well, it's a place for one cadenza, but Rachmaninoff wrote two alternatives. One is longer and way, way harder, a real endurance test, and the other one is shorter and more fingery. Stephen Huff takes the shorter and more fingery version, not because he can't play the bigger one. I'm sure he's more than capable of it, but most pianists tend to think that it's generally more, just more successful than the bigger concerto, more effective. So here's Mr. Huff with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, conductor Andrew Litton. You might hear the odd noise from an audience as this was a live concert, and we hear the first movement of the Piano Concerto No. 3 by Rachmaninoff.
Thank you.
Music of Rachmaninoff. We heard the first movement of the Piano Concerto No. 3 in D minor. I wish we had time for the whole thing, but it's about a 40-minute concerto. And so we don't have time for it. Maybe in the coming week, sometime next week, maybe not even on Piano Wednesday, I might play the second and third movements. They have to be played together because the second movement leads into the third movement. That was a recording with pianist Stephen Huff, a British pianist, and the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Litton, who I have eaten sushi with. All right, what are we going to next? Oh, yes, we're going to finish off on this All-Russian Day with music by Sergei Prokofiev. We'll hear part of his Seventh Sonata, the third movement. And by a pianist, you wouldn't necessarily expect to hear playing Sergei Prokofiev. This is a recording that was made by Glenn Gould back in the 1960s, 1967, if I recall correctly. And in the 60s and 70s, he made a surprising number of recordings by of music by composers you wouldn't necessarily expect of him. A lot of them 20th century composers like Ernst Krenek and Schoenberg. Fear not, I will not be playing any of those here on Snooze Button. Some of them are good pieces, but it just doesn't fit into the kind of mandate I've set myself for this show. He also recorded one of the Scriabin sonatas, two of the Scriabin sonatas at that time, rather surprisingly, and some other more clearly romantic repertoire, like some Grieg pieces, some Richard Strauss. Actually, I think the Strauss recordings were later. And most surprisingly, a recording of Chopin's third piano sonata, which is definitely strange, but kind of fascinating, and in some ways actually quite good. Anyway, this Sonata No. 7 by Prokofiev, the outer two movements of it are very exciting. There's a video of Glenn Gould playing, I think, the whole thing somewhere out there. I think it's appears on the Sony label on video. And the first time I saw it, I was just blown away by the ease with which he was playing this piece. This final movement is very famous. It's in, if I recall correctly, in the key signature of 7-8. And it's very fast, so that means there's some tricky counting problems for the pianist. But Glenn Gould has no particular difficulties with it. Here he is. Well, I realize not everybody out there may like that kind of music, but come on, it was only 3 minutes and 22 seconds, and if it didn't get your adrenaline flowing, then you probably better just check your pulse and make sure you're still alive. That was the third movement, Precipitato, Precipitously, from Sonata No. 7 by Sergei Prokofiev. The pianist, somewhat surprisingly, but doing a superb job with it, was Glenn Gould. All right, it's 8:58. I have no more music to play for you and not much time, no time to really to play it in. The students, student broadcasters at Studio One have been very attentive and on the ball and ready to go when I switched up there in the past couple of days. So that's it for this edition of Snooze Button. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And in the meantime, I will say thank you very much for listening and have yourselves a wonderful day. Now, over to you, guys.